This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our number here on Talk of the Town is 395-1450, and our guest is Dr. Hurlwimmer. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Juke, listening audience, and medical staff offices everywhere.
It's good to see you here this morning.
It is great to be here. Great to be here. And the flu is upon us.
Yeah, how come?
The flu strain that is causing the most problem since 2009 now is the H1N1 flu strain.
Right.
And it seems to infect more the young adults.
Hmm.
And the reason we think it's affecting the young adults more than older adults is the younger adult has an immune system that is at times too active.
I see.
And so it starts destroying this H1N1 strain of virus, and then it doesn't know how to stop.
Hmm.
So it starts attacking healthy tissue, including the brain at times, but certainly the lungs, and causing pneumonia.
Yeah.
And there have been several deaths already here in Michigan, too. So if you have not received your flu vaccine for this for 2013-2014 year, please get your flu vaccine. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks for the immune system to build up resistance. And the strain that is in this present flu vaccine is the H1N1 virus. And that's very, very deadly, like I said, to young adults
mm-hmm.
in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And so please do it. And before we went on the air, there's a university somewhere here in the United States where they've had to quarantine something like 24 students, and 2 students have already passed away.
Really?
I have no idea where that university is or which university is, but this is a serious strain,
mm-hmm.
and it wreaked havoc in 2009. It's the same strain coming back. And this time the CDC did get it right, that strain is in the
yeah.
vaccine, present-day vaccine. If you decide not to get the vaccine, excuse me, then if you develop flu-like symptoms, please, please, please see a doctor, and they can prescribe something called Tamiflu. They keep advertising it on television, but it
yeah.
is a prescription drug. And sooner or later, there's going to be a nationwide shortage
mm-hmm.
because there's really only one manufacturer of it, and that's overseas. So the wiser thing to do is get the flu vaccine. And if you're 65 and older, get the high-dose flu vaccine, which is still available at most health departments, even pharmacies and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what else is new?
What else is new? In the field of research, we are making great strides at different medical centers with antibody vaccines against cancers.
Really?
Yes. It's coming.
Hmm.
And I pray to the good Lord every day, let me be still around in about 20 years. Because I think we're onto something that is good and that will help mankind finally conquer some of these cancers.
See the headlines, cancer conquered?
Exactly. And when I went through medical school from 68 to 72, we were told by our professors, you'll be the last generation to see cancer.
Hmm.
And we all looked at each other, you sure? And unfortunately, it has not come to pass yet.
Yeah.
But research is just fabulous now, going after not only they're also going after the genes that control cell division and cell multiplication. And if they can figure out which genes control cellular division, because there's 3 billion cells, new cells per day in each human being, which is an amazing amount of cells developing. And just one or two of those have to get by the surveillance system of the immune system. And then, unfortunately, they will grow out of control. They will go out of control. And they also start involuting. That is, they grow into themselves. The mass grows into itself. And that's one theory of why some cancers spread so fast, because the immune system can't get into that tumor mass.
Yeah.
So with artificial antibodies, maybe they can penetrate the tumor mass finally.
Well, if we get on top of that and get on top of some of the neurological diseases.
Absolutely. The neurological diseases are coming up fast and furious because of the aging of the population, including yours truly here. I already have the neuropathy from the diabetes, and they're doing research on neuropathy because it is a common problem, not only with diabetes, but other illnesses can also cause the neuropathy, where you get pain and cold hands, cold feet, and so on. So you just dress appropriately. You have to keep the feet warm, and
right.
you have to keep the hands warm. And don't forget to wear hats, especially in this cold weather, because 9 to 12% of your body surface area is actually the head and neck. And that's hard to believe. That's there's a new meaning to you've got a big head.
No.
No pun intended, I'm sorry. But cover up. And frostbite is a big problem. Like in Chicago, they had an overwhelming number of people reporting to emergency rooms when they had 30 below zero Fahrenheit weather and with frostbite. And the tendency with frostbite is to use hot water or hot compresses and so on. That's exactly the wrong thing to use, because you will burn.
Yeah.
You will get burns. And that adds problems, further problems. So lukewarm water is usually the best treatment, and then get to an emergency room, because you don't want that skin and everything underneath it to die. Because then you get gangrene.
Right, right.
And then we're really in trouble.
Really,
yeah. Gangrene is still a major problem around the world.
You wouldn't think so.
No, but and there's now so many bacteria coming about that are resistant to most antibiotics, and that's the scariest thing, too. But there's research into that, too. They're trying to develop vaccines against these antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And that is also going to be the hope for the future.
By the way, if you'd like to talk to the doctor this morning, give us a call at 395-1450. Our line is open for you. And I would think most people would be sitting at home doing nothing.
But, well, my wife is shopping.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's the best thing, you know, for the economy.
Well, also for her well-being.
And for her well-being.
Yes.
She needs to be apart from me for a while.
Yes.
You know, I have to give her her space.
Yes. Well, somebody said retirement for the husband is twice as much a husband and half as much money.
That is true. That is a wise saying.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely. And I work one day a week, namely on Mondays, and Patty's very happy.
Mm-hmm. Very happy, yeah. Especially on Monday.
On Monday.
All right, 395-1450, if you'd like to talk to the doctor. Let's take a look at the weather And the weather is brought to you this morning by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Enter your business card to win a Wooden Shoe catering. That sounds pretty good. And for today, we have snow predicted, 2 inches possible. This is for Ottawa County until 1 a.m. Friday.
Ooh.
And the high should be about 32. Now, tonight, we'll have snow showers of up to 2 inches possible, a low of 20. Tomorrow, snow showers of up to 2 inches possible, a high of 25. And Saturday, light snow with a high of 20. And Sunday, snow showers at times with a high of 32. And right now, we're looking at 22 degrees here in the Tulip City as our temperature. So it's kind of on the cool side. But going to warm up.
It is. It is. We have to be optimistic.
Actually, it seems to me it's healthy weather out there.
Right now?
If you dress
yes.
warm.
Yes,
right.
If you dress warm.
And we have a call
Absolutely.
Coming in.
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yeah, doctor. I also have that neuropathy.
Mm.
Now, I used to be real warm in the house here like this, and ever since I've had this for the past 2 years now, that it's cold to me.
Yes, yes.
And my wife is always warm now.
Exactly. I empathize.
I mean, I used to sit around when the house is at 70 without a T-shirt on, being sweating and warm, and now I put a blanket on.
Okay.
Does that have anything to do with that neuropathy?
It can, yes. And I might add, get a blood test to make certain that you don't have an underactive thyroid gland.
I can hardly hear him.
Oh.
I don't know if he's up to the microphone.
Okay. Make sure that you don't have an underactive thyroid, and that can be determined with a simple blood test.
Underactive thyroid?
Yes. It's called hypothyroidism. And
okay, so when I go, I'll have that checked.
Yes, and tell them
okay,
that you do
you
have
much.
That cold feeling in your hands and so on, and have them run the blood tests.
Okay.
Okay?
Right. 395-1450, if you have a question here for the doctor, and our line is open at the moment, and you have a question about medications or something you think you have, give us a call. All right.
The newest thing in allergy.
Yes.
The FDA still has not approved it, but for ragweed, Johns Hopkins is coming out with an oral form of desensitization to ragweed.
Really? We can let all the ragweed grow.
We can let the ragweed grow, and you take it orally. And you have to do it once a day. And yes, you have to work up to a high concentration of it. But heretofore, the FDA still has not approved the oral immunotherapy, we call it. Oral allergy therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Johns Hopkins doing all this research, that they will approve it, because Baltimore isn't too far away from Rockville, Maryland, where the FDA is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, is ragweed one of the worst
yes.
things that
yes.
people are immune,
yeah,
allergic to?
Allergic to, absolutely, absolutely. Around here, I'd say the majority of allergy sufferers, especially August time, September time,
mm-hmm.
they definitely have the problem of ragweed allergy. And they can get asthma. They can even get skin rashes. They can get recurrent sinus infections. They can get headaches. And the constant post-nasal drainage. And the eyes. The eyes usually start getting red and swollen and very itchy. And ragweed is one of the worst
mm-hmm.
substances. And years and years ago, Europe didn't have much ragweed, but thanks to travel and jet transportation and so on, they now have also ragweed allergy in Europe,
mm-hmm.
in continental Europe. So it has gone worldwide, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the toughest weed to eradicate because it spreads out roots. And it loves tilled soil.
Yeah. Cornfields where they've been tilling.
Cornfields, perfect, yes. And it just grows in all kinds of weather conditions. It survives in all kinds of weather conditions. And one of the pesticides is called pyrethrum, and that's derived from ragweed.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And so, some type of
it's an organic pesticide.
Yeah.
Rather than a man-made pesticide,
right,
with hydrocarbons in it. This is a natural occurring pesticide, and it does help fight off the pests. But if you're severely allergic to ragweed, chances are excellent you'll be also allergic to it.
Oh, really?
To pyrethrum. And I have several allergy sufferers of ragweed that are very sensitive to the melon family. And come to find out that the melon family can cross-react with ragweed. And we call that the oral allergy syndrome. They get either a little bit of itching of the throat or of the tongue. Some get swelling of the lips and so on, and that's called the oral allergy syndrome. And when we put them on allergy injections to ragweed, eventually some of them can enjoy melons again. So we do have a vaccine that indirectly can help with an allergy to melons. So
now,
that's kind of nice.
You can develop an allergy any time in life, right?
Any time in life.
So even if you're 80 years old, you
yes.
could possibly...
Yes. The British just announced 2 years ago that the third biggest peak, the first peak is below age 15, second peak is above age 15, and then the third peak is between 65 and 70.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
I'd like to ask the doctor, what's the side effects of prednisone? Can you have swelling in the legs or the feet?
You bet.
Is there a lot of different side effects of prednisone?
Yes.
I'll hang up and listen to
him. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yes. Prednisone is one of those kind of drugs that we only prescribe for severe reactions or severe skin rashes, etc., or severe asthma, because of those side effects, not only the swelling of the legs and so on, but also some patients can actually develop a rash depending on the dose of prednisone that we use. We can also develop some mental changes. Some people become very hyperactive with prednisone, and other people can become depressed. So we have to be very careful with the prescribing of prednisone. It's one of the least expensive medications at our disposal, but we have to use it wisely, and we have to tailor it to each patient. Each patient responds just a little bit different to these side effects. And I've seen some patients develop cataracts from the use of prednisone, long-standing use mm-hmm. of prednisone. I've seen marked obesity from the use of prednisone, because what starts happening is fat gets deposited in the midriff, and it also raises blood sugar. So the pancreas tries to produce more insulin, and you can actually create diabetes in someone.
Really?
You can actually create diabetes in a patient that's on long-standing prednisone, and then you'll have to put them on insulin mm-hmm. because the pancreas can't produce enough insulin after a while.
Doctor, with all this hubbub about our medical plan and so on. Have you seen any changes come about?
Personally, not many. No, no. I'm seeing more, let's say, chronically ill people who have signed up.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Chronic asthmatics, chronic allergy sufferers, chronic skin disease sufferers, and so on. And they were really the first to sign up. If you had a chronic illness, the plan is very, very good. But again, where we're lacking in signing up is the young population who is healthy.
Yeah.
And again, that brings up the point, this program should have, it's a well-intentioned program for health care for everyone, but it should have been phased in. Mm-hmm. We should have taken children from ages 0 to 26 and phased that population in.
Yeah.
And then you can phase in the middle population. And we seniors at 65 and older, we're on Medicare.
Right.
So the big bugaboo I have with the program is you're trying to do too much at one time.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to provide health care to everyone, but we're going to be stretched to the limits as far as physicians in primary care. And one-third of our age group, my age group, I'm 68, one-third are going to retire.
Yeah.
And two-thirds are going to remain behind, and they're going to get inundated with patients in the primary care fields, pediatrics included, internal medicine especially, and OBGYN, especially GYN and so on, and family doctors. I mean, and right now, yes, to predict this physician shortage that's here and that's coming yet, new medical schools are being developed.
Mm-hmm.
Central Michigan University is going to get a medical school.
Right.
Western Michigan University will start this July or August. William Beaumont has a medical school in Detroit area, Royal Oak, Michigan. So there, and Wayne State is there, Michigan State is there, University of Michigan. So we will have enough medical schools, but it takes a long time
right.
to develop into a practical practicing physician.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the emphasis has always been on specialties. And also fee reimbursement in the past years has been more towards specialists. Well, I think that's going to reverse. I think there's going to be more fee reimbursement for primary care physicians and so on, and nurse practitioners and PAs included in the primary care fields.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about, the nurse practitioners.
Oh, absolutely.
A necessity for most offices.
Absolutely. Nurse practitioners are hard to come by because nursing schools have the most problem right now attracting faculty. Because, again, the faculty that's there at the nursing schools around the country, they're going to retire.
Yeah.
I think the median age is 55 or 56 for nursing instructors and so on. Well, that's going to end.
Oh, yes.
And it's a critical shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing the government could do, honest, is to forgive the student loans, because the average medical student right now has $200,000 worth of debt from student loans. And that entices them, after they graduate, to go into specialties. because the specialists generally out-earn the primary care.
Right.
So what the government should do, I think, is if you're serving in an underserved area, like a rural area or in the inner city of our country, we will forgive your loans if you work at a clinic.
Right.
After 5 years, you will pay off all your loans.
Mm-hmm.
We will forgive your loans. And that would, oh my goodness, that would attract very qualified people.
Yeah.
Because the way it is now, you have to have money to go to these professional schools, and that's not fair.
I heard one of these financial experts talk on that, and somebody called in, and they had a school debt of $200,000, and their
yes.
wife had a school debt of $300,000. Well, here's $500,000 they're owing on their education, and
it's
they're going to be a long time getting out from under that.
I know, and that leads into, did I make the right decision
yeah.
to go into a career like this? And the answer from an ethical standpoint is, of course you did. But from a financial standpoint, yes, you have to be mm-hmm. realistic that it'll take you years. It'll take at least 20, 25 years to pay off all that debt.
Yeah.
And the government could invest in people like that and say, okay, 5 years in an underserved area, and we will forgive all those loans, and you will still get a salary
mm-hmm.
for working in the clinic. So I think 5 years is a reasonable amount of time.
Mm-hmm. We're moving you to this clinic in Fargo, North Dakota.
But Fargo is booming.
They are booming, aren't they?
They have a housing shortage.
Yes.
They have a hospital shortage. I was reading all about it. And you should see them advertise in the journals, medical journals.
Really?
Oh, they need doctors. They need nurses. They need everybody out there.
Isn't that great?
Because of the energy boom.
Yeah.
And it is great. And it's great to see it in America, you know?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is.
I don't have to say Saudi Arabia, you know? Because
yeah.
years ago, Saudi Arabia used to advertise in medical journals.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. And they would pay all your expenses. And you could literally, as a specialist, you could literally become a millionaire.
No kidding.
In about 5 years.
Goodness sakes.
And they were the only ones that had, we used to have gastric tubes, right?
Yes.
And ours were weighted down with mercury, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. But encased, you know, so that it wouldn't burst, of course, in the intestine. They had theirs encased in gold.